This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Christian, you just got us caught up with everything going on in the NFL. Another busy day. League year doesn't start officially until 24 hours from now, or now less than 24 hours. A lot of the quarterbacks, all those pieces have fallen into place. Kirk Cousins goes to the Minnesota Vikings. Good fit there. Teddy Bridgewater, he's going to the New York Jets. Sam Bradford goes to Arizona. Case Keenum goes to Denver. The Bills last week trade Tyrod Taylor to Cleveland. Seems like the Bills are lusting after someone on the top of the draft. Sounds like they're going to move up to either take Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold or someone like that. Where's the love for my man A.J. McCarron? That was a guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's a guy.
Forgot about him.
That I thought, you know, would be a decent fit in Denver, maybe even with the Minnesota Vikings. This is a guy I've been bullish on because he's one of the only guys that was able to possibly pull off the improbable, and that's winning a playoff game in Cincinnati before Vontaze Burfict didn't lose his mind and that idiot Jeremy Hill didn't fumble against the Steelers a couple of years back. Like, holy crap, A.J. McCarron almost won the first game for the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs in like 25 years. Three-time national champion at a big program at Alabama, playing for a taskmaster like Nick Saban. Like, I think A.J. McCarron has the it factor. He just needs a chance. I'm surprised he hasn't landed anywhere.
I guess. I mean, he seems like one of those sort of unproven, let's see if we get him, hopefully it would be a nice shiny new toy type of situations with which you see sometimes. Like, I sort of consider Jimmy Garoppolo one of those, too, at first. Just like, all right, we've seen him for five games or two games here with New England, but, you know, then the five in San Francisco, and what do we really know about him? What do we really know about A.J. McCarron? I mean, it's not a whole big body of work sample to go with. Certainly
sure.
Not anything that makes you know, sets the world on fire. But yeah, I mean, considering how QB crazy everybody is right now, McCarron's sitting there, that's surprising.
Yeah, and that's, like, I've always been down on Sam Bradford because he's made out of glass. And you look at what he just got.
Yeah.
1 year, $20 million, including $15 million guaranteed. That's, I mean, the money being thrown around in the last day or so is insane. But for Sam Bradford, 1 year, $20 million bucks, and are they really going to be competitive next year? No.
Of course not.
No, not at all. I'm surprised he hasn't landed anywhere. But that's just a thought. It's all about Danny Amendola, though, so far. That was the news that we got breaking in the 2 o'clock hour. Danny Amendola off to the Miami Dolphins on a two-year deal, finally getting paid after taking three discounted years here with the Patriots, but getting $8.25 guaranteed, probably too rich for the blood of the Patriots. So your thoughts on that and anything NFL-related, including Tom Brady's extremely weird appearance on the Colbert Show last night. We'll go to Warren in Portsmouth. Who has a thought on that? You're next here on Felger and Mads. Hey, Warren.
Hey, Jim. First of all, I just want to say great job filling in.
Thanks.
Enjoying the show today. The Brady situation last night on Colbert, I have to agree. I was sitting home and I'm watching, and you paraphrased everything I was thinking. Like, what's up? The only comparison I can make, and, you know, it might not be a cup of tea, but think of James Taylor, right? When he was greasy-haired, writing Fire and Rain out of rehab, and then all of a sudden he's on Prozac and got that glazed look. Anyway, it was creepy, and I love Brady like you, like best athlete maybe of all time, respect, but, like, you got to say at some point, what's going on there? It was just, I don't know.
It was very strange. What do you got on Amendola?
I think it's, the beginning of the Patriot way. You know, he was the guy that stuck in there, didn't take any, you know, didn't get paid. I'm glad for him. It's a big loss, but I think it's a beginning of this.
Warren, I'm going to let you go on that, and I appreciate the kind words on our regard here filling in. It does feel like, and maybe this will you tell me, Arcan, do you think that this maybe speaks a little bit more to, you know, it being kind of ugly behind the scenes, and that some guys, rather than looking at being here as the best place for an opportunity for them to get rings and to win, some of these guys have decided, you know what, this isn't have the same feel it's had here in years past. Now, there's this weird thing going on between Belichick and Brady. There's this power struggle. It's time for me to get mine.
He also has two rings. I mean, it's not like we're talking about a guy who hasn't won anything. And that's often the pitch that the Patriots give to potential free agents, not guys they're trying to re-sign internally. Like, I remember last year, Daron Harmon, I thought he was gone. Like, Logan Ryan left, and I figured, okay, Ryan's going to go, Harmon's probably going to go and be a starting safety somewhere. And instead, Ryan went and got paid, and Harmon decided to stay. And I thought that was so interesting, because it's like, what does Harmon have left to do here, other than maybe slide in when Devin McCourty goes somewhere, or gets traded, or gets hurt, or whatever. But, you know, it's rare that you see that. It's rare that someone with the rings and sort of everything else, the only thing that's really left in their football career is to get paid, to get like that big payday. And it's not like Amendola got all the tea in China here. I mean, he got a pretty good contract, not a great one, but it was more than he was going to get here. And I think that that's pretty much the long and short of it. If he wanted to stay and keep winning Super Bowls, it's more likely that was going to happen here than Miami or basically anywhere else. So I don't know. It sort of strikes me as one of those, okay, I'm at the end, I'm 32 years old, I'm 5'10", and you know, let's end this on a high note financially. Sure, go ahead.
But if Solder ends up taking the money, if Lewis gets a big payday, and it sounds like the Patriots still had some interest in him, if these other dominoes start to fall, then I think, to me at least, it becomes a little bit more obvious that the shine is off the quote-unquote Patriot way a bit, and it's not so much about winning for these guys anymore. It's like, you know what, F this, it's time for me to get that money.
Which, I guess.
If that's the case, like, look, at some point, if someone's dangling a big contract in front of you, I don't blame them. You know, at some point, you got to get that money and secure yourself and your family's future.
Paul, yeah.
Paul in Bridgewater, though, on the Patriots and Nate Solder. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, how are you guys today? Real quick, I just want to talk about Dominic Sue-Wilf first. He's not Albert Haynesworth. I just read an article about him. He averaged 45 tackles and 5 sacks the last 2 years, double-teamed the whole time. He made the Pro Bowl last year. He's exactly what Belichick wants. He doesn't have to give him a giant contract. He's going to get the best out of him. He has a lot of left in his tank. I love the nose tackle they picked up from Cleveland. They'll have a great front line. And real quick on Nate Solder, you know, let's talk about NFL concussion protocol. A few years ago, they made him play with concussions, if you guys don't remember. I think he'll leave because of the money, but that's going to be in the back of his mind. They stuck him out in the field. I remember him coming off, taking off his helmet. He looked like he was in left field. He was out of it. And I don't know why. And I kept saying, this guy's very important to the Patriots. He's one of the biggest human beings I've ever met. He's monstrous, like Richard Seymour. He is big dude. And I don't understand why they did that to him. I think it's going to come down to the money. And just going back to Dominic Sue, if he could rip someone's leg right off and shake it to the crowd, I'd be really happy, and I think he's a great player.
Well, Paul, you have bloodlust like I do. You know, that sounds more like my dreams than anything else. Yes, on the football field, hypothetically, I would like to see someone's limb get ripped off and just throw it into the crowd like, yay, ah, rah, and someone bite into it like it's a big ham bone. But, of course, we can't have that. Yeah, Nate Solder, I mean, look, the player is just as complicit. And it's not like they're holding him at gunpoint to get back out there. Because
5 years ago, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, you could maybe make the same case. Well, they forced Edelman back out in Super Bowl 49 after he got lit up over the middle against the Seahawks. No, they want to go out there, too. They're just as much to blame as a team, and if a guy's banged up and they want to go out there, that's why they're football players.
Right, but even let's just for a second say that it was all the Patriots. The Patriots said, no, Nate, you got to go back out there and play. We need you. And he said, no, I'm concussed, and they put him out there anyway. A lot's happened since then with his own health, you know, his kids, how all these things. And I think the Patriots have, for the most part, done right by him, you know, in terms of his overall, his life, really. I mean, that's what we're talking about now. So I wouldn't put that out there as something 5 years ago that happened with concussions that would make him not want to stay here.
If Nate Solder's not here, it's because of the money. It's because someone's going to offer him $13 or $14 million a year, and the Patriots think that that's too rich for their blood, which I hope that it's not, because I want him back, that he's protecting a 41-year-old quarterback's blindside, because, yes, he's that important. If it's not, Gronk is number one. Get him back in the fold, and then, you know, 1B is getting Nate Solder back, too. But the Patriots have done precious little while everyone else is doing something else. And in the league year, we're still about 24 hours away from that officially starting. So your thoughts on anything Patriots-related? We'll continue to take those phone calls at 617-779-0985. Do want to touch on the Celtics, though. The MASH unit that is the Boston Celtics. We'll do that next year on Felger and Maz, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz, the Sports Hub. This is Felger and Maz.
I'm a sports dork now.
That guy is a hack.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We've done that pretty consistently, that we've said if we need to rest or if the knee becomes an issue, then automatically everything stops and we go from there. What we're really focused on now is making sure that knee feels as good as possible, you know, heading into April.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Big Jim Murray and Christian Arkin in for the guys today. So that was Celtics head coach Brad Stevens talking about Kyrie Irving's gimpy knee. This team is now a MASH unit. As a Celtics fan right now, Christian Arkin, do you not want to live no mo? In the words of the late, great, notorious B.I.G. Kyrie Irving out a few games with this knee. Jaylen Brown concussed out indefinitely, but he'll be back hopefully sooner than later. Daniel Tice announced yesterday torn meniscus, done for the rest of the year. This thing going on with Marcus Smart's hand, the right hand.
Yeah.
Doesn't look good right now, but considering the seeding, 7 games ahead of the Pacers in the 3 spot where Indiana is, and 3.5 behind Toronto, you're a little bit freaked out with everything going on with this team.
100%. First of all, you got to loan me some of these beats for the weekend for when I'm on. But number two, yes, I absolutely am. How can you not be? I mean, we're towards the end of the year now. This is the home stretch. And this team, I mean, it's been biblical. You're right. I mean, what kills me about it is it's not just like the important players. It's even the Daniel Tices of the world are going down here. And Tice, I don't think, was going to be the difference between making it to the second round of the playoffs or anything like that. But he's a guy off the bench who can score and rebound and do these things in small doses, and that's great. But he's done for the year. Marcus Smart with this thumb now, the same thumb on the same hand that he punched the picture frame with. And Irving with his knee, I know they're trying to downplay that and say it's just tendonitis, which, okay, great. Just tendonitis doesn't really make me feel that great either, especially as Gasper said yesterday, same knee from 2015, same knee that, you know, he forced the trade out of there, said, I'm going to have surgery if you don't move me, I'm going to have surgery on this knee. I don't know. I mean, there's really, to me, sort of an end times kind of feel to the Celtics right now. And I'm not saying they're going to blow it and lose for the rest of the year and fall out of playoff, you know, consideration or anything like that, but it's hard for me to take them seriously as a contender right now with all these injuries. And even without them, it was kind of hard. With them, it's basically impossible.
Where's the pressure fall on in terms of who's in that starting five as of right now? I mean, is it more on Al Horford?
Who is it?
is it Jason Tatum? Like, who do you, for you specifically, who do you need to see step up?
I think it's got to be Al Horford, assuming that he's back tonight, I think, but he missed the last game with an illness. He has to step up, and I know we've kind of been waiting for this since he got here. I'd love to see him just take 15 shots a game. You know, just average that. You need to. We need something else. With Brown out, with all these other injuries that we're seeing here, and Kyrie Irving playing at 75%, now would be a great time for Al Horford to try and expand his game a little bit, or at least be a little more aggressive on offense. And I know that's not necessarily the way that he plays, and I know that his value to the team isn't really sort of set in his shot totals or his scoring totals. But they need that from him right now. They need it more than ever.
Yeah, that to me, that's where the pressure falls on the most. It's Al Horford.
100%, yeah.
You know, and look, I've been hard on him in the past. He's, for the most part, up until the All-Star break, he was having a good season. But I need more offensively out of Al Horford. I still think, look, it's still, despite the injuries, they're not off the hook with me. If they somehow ended up losing in the first round, it's still a massive disappointment, considering that this team, at least to me, was poised as the best out of the East.
Sure.
I expected a deep run this year, but it don't look good right now. Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of Felger and Maz. Jimmy Stewart,
you
have your Celtics underground sources. Granted, maybe things have slowed down here because of this hellish weather, but have you heard anything about this Marcus Smart injury? Because there's so many conflicting reports. Danny Ainge isn't going to confirm that it's a torn tendon. That was first reported by Shams Sharania. Hopefully I'm saying that name correctly. Mark Murphy of the Herald tweeted, Ainge disputes the report that he has the torn tendon. You got anything solid on this?
Nope.
Has anyone, have you sniffed around?
I've gotten nothing.
Oh, radio
silence.
I
haven't even gotten dots on the iPhone.
Oh, that someone's typing and then they stop typing to pull it back? Well, that's not good. Are you persona non grata there for some reason now?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, keep digging, because I need to know what's going on there, because they need Smart. I know, for all his flaws, and the joke on Twitter, of course, is, well, now it'll prevent him from shooting.
Yeah, my instinct, though, Murray, I will give you this. My instinct is, with Celtics reports, to lean towards Yahoo rather than Woj.
Yeah, because Woj, he hasn't been as solid as he was in the past, or at least since he got to ESPN.
No, it doesn't feel that way. And remember, too, he got Al Horford wrong. He had Al Horford to the Hawks, not to the Celtics.
I remember that.
Take that, Woj.
Although Woj's report in this particular instance was
the
more
one you
in line
believe.
With what Danny Ainge said. Yeah, I mean, he's saying that it's under scrutiny from the team and that they think it's a bad tendon, but they're not sure. They think it's a sprain. You know, the torn tendon, that was all Yahoo, and it obviously came from somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, I'd rather believe Woj's take here. It'd make me feel a lot better as a Celtics fan.
Me too. So add the Celtics to the conversation if you want to join in. 617-779-0985. Of course, it's Felger and Maz here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. Simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Jim Murray and Kristen Arkand in for the guys today. And we'll get the thought of the day from Cam and Taunton. Hello, Cam.
Oh, my gosh. I'm starting to get with these other guys. I mean, with the whole Belichick thing. First of all, Jim, I remember the day of the Super Bowl, you came in here and said, does that Super Bowl prove the answer to who means more, Brady or Belichick? I mean, you couldn't be more right about that. It's Brady. And I was with Mike. I thought it was Belichick. That Super Bowl proved me wrong. It's Brady. And just like, look at what this guy has done over this last year. Between giving up a first-round pick to Brandon Cooks, who I can't stand. I didn't like that chase in the beginning. He's not on the same page as Brady. That was a bad move. Trading Garoppolo for nothing, all the bad personnel decisions, and now this offseason he's sitting on his hands doing nothing. Well, everybody around them is getting better. While you have a 41-year-old quarterback that you've gone all in with his time left. Now, granted, they might still be the best team in the AFC because Jacksonville gave that stupid extension to Bortles when they could have gotten McCarron or Cousins, and I don't trust Pittsburgh as long as that buffoon's their head coach. So if you had a gun in my head right now, would I say the Patriots will be back in the AFC Championship game this year? Absolutely. But they're not good enough to win it right now.
I agree completely with that. You know, like almost by default, as long as Belichick and Brady are there, the coach quarterback combo, yeah, you're the best team in the AFC. And as long as it's right, you know, like Tomlin's still in charge of the Steelers, yep, they got that dope in charge, they'll find a way to trip all over themselves. They're going to be 12-4, 13-3, even 12-4, 11-5 at worst, fall out of bed because of the rest of the competition in the AFC East. But right now, would I expect them to win the Super Bowl? No, I wouldn't. Like, they still have improvements to make. They still got to bring Nate Solder back. It's not been, even though the offseason officially doesn't start until tomorrow at 4, and been great so far. Feels like they've done precious little.
If they had won the Super Bowl and had this same kind of offseason, which, again, is still in the very early stages here, would we have anything close to the same kind of take on it? I mean, I just feel like they were close enough. It was 8 points. It wasn't a huge discrepancy. There were clearly, you know, issues on the defensive side of the ball, not so much on offense. You know, the Butler thing obviously would have been taken a whole new way. You know, well, they decided to sit Butler and they won anyway. I mean, if you think about it, like, all of that would have just really justified Belichick and everything he's ever done. It's really just that one thing that's kind of, in this offseason anyway, kind of toppled on him a little bit.
Let's go to, I think it's Mill in West Brookfield. You're next here on Felger and Maz. Is it Mill? Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
My feelings on Nate Solder is that he's going to be sticking around. I'm a big fan of his. I mean, he's the first person I can recall to make Leon Gray and John Hanna look like high school players. I mean, this guy, 6'9", 350. I don't think there's anyone else here that can move around like him. Hopefully he does stick around. You know, due to his health concerns with his family, he's got the best doctors and hospitals in the world right at his disposal right here in Boston. So, but I don't see him going anywhere.
I hope that you're right, but let's not. So, look, I mean, it's part of the it's part of the Boston charm, I feel like, or the New Englander charm, to be as close-minded as to think that nowhere else is as good as it is here. But the reality is that's not always the case. As much of a hellhole in terms of, you know, from the football aspect, Cleveland is. They have the Mayo Clinic. The Cleveland Browns reportedly interested in Nate Solder. If they're to give him $14.5 million a year, and because Joe Thomas has decided to retire, or he's told the team, I'm walking away,
right,
and they give him that kind of money, they have the Mayo Clinic there for his son, who's dealt with illness. Why wouldn't he take that? Even though it's Cleveland, it's the Browns, you obviously don't have the same opportunity to win as you would here. But that kind of money, I doubt the Patriots would match it. And you know you're going to get good health care for your kid. Like, it's not just the best here because you love it the most.
Right.
It's just not how it is.
It just makes me think of Ray Allen. And I know, like, diabetes obviously isn't the same. But everyone said, oh, Ray Allen's going to stay because his kid has diabetes and the best hospitals are here in Boston. And he said, no, I think I'll go to Miami, actually. You know, get paid. Not as much, but I still want to go down there. And, you know, we'll find a hospital that can... they can deal with diabetes when we're down in Miami. By the way, I got your Danny Amendola replacement. You see this?
No, what's this?
Schefter, 2 minutes ago, the Packers are releasing Jordy Nelson.
Oh! Oh, I would be into that.
Releasing him.
Really?
Yeah.
And there's also some other Packers news, that big Packers news.
Yes.
In terms of their offense going to be coming up here in the Hub headlines with Christian Arcan. But Jordy Nelson, I would be into Jordy Nelson if you can get him on somewhat of a short contract. By the way, did that last caller refer to Nate Solder in the same sentence as Hog Hanna?
He did. He said made Hanna look like a high school player.
No.
Physically, maybe.
He's not even close to, like, Willie Rolfe, Orlando Pace, any of the great left tackles of all time. No.
Matt Light.
Yeah, he's good. He's good, not great. He's above average. But you know what? I'd rather have that, and he's worth the money because it's about continuity on the offensive line. I want him back because I want him protecting a 41-year-old quarterback's blind side. That, to me, is the second most important thing to do. Number one, signing Rob Gronkowski. And if Gronk's not back, a good option to replace him is now gone. Christian Arcan's going to tell you who that is here in the Hub headlines, and then back to your calls here on Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I hate the smell of strawberries.
Okay,
like that.
And you've never had a strawberry.
Ever.
I challenge you to eat a strawberry. I'll rub your arm while you eat a strawberry. Do what?
Really?
Yeah, just, now, why won't you eat a strawberry?
I just hate the smell. All right.
Okay, come on. Come on. All right. Yeah. Here, ready? Cheers.
Not that bad.
And then he proceeded to spit said strawberry into a napkin like a complete psychopath. It was Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, still my favorite athlete of all time, but man, the more that that curtain gets peeled back and you see who Oz really is, he's a weirdo. Brady on with Stephen Colbert last night. It's Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub, so if you have some thoughts left over on that, and I'll reset those in about 20 minutes because I had a kooky conspiracy theory about Brady's appearance on that Colbert show last night. But we'll go to your calls in the meantime because it's been a busy day so far in the NFL. A lot of movement throughout the league. Again, Jordy Nelson has been released from the Green Bay Packers. Danny Amendola goes to the Miami Dolphins on a two-year deal. But Jordy Nelson, what do you, I should have asked you during the commercial break, I'm sorry to throw this at you, but maybe pull up his numbers, because I know when he came back from that torn ACL, he was the comeback player of the year, he was a stud. I don't know if, I wonder what his number was, his cap number was, did he have a drop in production last year, because I find that surprising, because that, to me, is the, you know, how Brady has Julian Edelman. Jordy Nelson, to me, was always the guy that Aaron Rodgers looked for.
Well, last year, without Aaron Rodgers for most of the season, Nelson, 15 games, 88 targets, 53 receptions, 482 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
And it's a down year in terms
major
of yardage.
Drop off for him in everything, touchdowns and yards.
Yeah, but he had Brett Hundley.
And targets and receptions, all of that.
Yeah, there was backup bums there for most of that season because Rodgers went down early against Minnesota. But that's a bit surprising to me. I would take Jordy Nelson if it's short money. Oh, he'd be a great fit here. Let's go to, let's see, longest order away. Tony and Stoneham on Danny Amendola going to the Dolphins. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
Hey, you had my phone jumping off the hook Friday. I guess you did that five-minute thing you do at the end of the show, and you had some clip that I was on anyway. I'm not worried about Amendola being gone. Trick all the receivers that we have lost over the years under Brady, and for the most part, nothing changes. What I'm concerned about is Belichick's supposed to be a defensive guy, and that is the weakest position that we have had in the Brady era. And we don't know why. And I think someone should hold his feet to the fire and have him explain it, as hard as that is to get anything out of Belichick.
I mean, there's a lot of holes to fill on that side of the ball. I'm with you on that, Tony. They need help at linebacker. They need help at cornerback, or at least I would like more of an improvement at the second cornerback. I guess I can swallow the pill that is Eric Rowe at CB2 if they continue to shore up the defensive line.
And you're probably going to have to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's honestly, that's probably what's going to happen.
Tlaib gone. Yeah. Richard Sherman gone. Those were one of those two names I wanted here in a Patriots uniform.
What about Jeremy Lane? Would you be all right with that? Like, I kind of like Lane. But
I mean, to me, him and Eric Rowe are a coin flip, you know? But at this point,
depth.
Yeah, maybe some depth. I mean, I would like him better than Cyrus Jones. But to the part that I disagree with his call is Danny Amendola will be fine without him. If you want to make the case that the Patriots have what 20 some odd million dollars in cap space, and if they're going to need to spend 12 plus on Solder, fine. If it's about money, then fine. You can make that case. They couldn't afford him. You have concerns about Danny Amendola's age, his injury history. Fine, I could even accept that. But in terms of production, in terms of what he meant to this team over the last few years.
Yeah.
Especially in the postseason, if you want to refer to him as just a fourth receiver, that's revisionist history. You brought up some of the numbers over the last couple of postseasons, specifically the three games in this postseason. He's a stud.
Yeah.
Brady looks for him. He's a gamer, especially in the playoffs. He's like, that dude is just like a straight. When you say, you throw the labels of like, he's a warrior, especially in the playoffs, that's Danny Amendola.
Yeah.
I get it. Age, injury concerns, fine. But he's not just a fourth wideout for this team.
Mike Reese has his take on the Amendola thing. You want to hear that?
Sure, please.
If you assume that it's the Belichick Patriot sort of side of this, and I think it is if you read it, it's up now on ESPN.com. He says, Amendola, the total of guaranteed money in the contract that he got from Miami, or that he's going to get from Miami, is worth more than Amendola's total compensation over the last three seasons with the Patriots. The total compensation, which is wild, in which he took pay reductions each year. It highlights why this type of deal could be hard for Amendola to turn down. The Patriots, as is their standard operating procedure, assign financial values to players based on what role they project them to fill. In New England, Amendola is a number 3/4 option, a player whose health, specifically the knee, was managed carefully with the hope of having him at his best down the home stretch and in the playoffs, where he shined the brightest. Because of that, a 2-year, $12 million deal with 8.25 guaranteed doesn't fit how the Patriots, right or wrong, view his role.
Yeah, I get it. You know, they have their systems and their rules, and it's obviously worked out for them. But with this guy, to me, he's not just a fourth wideout.
It seems like he played himself into something else, you know.
Oh, he definitely,
right? Like,
these last 2 years, he absolutely did.
Yeah.
And good for him for getting that money. But let's not forget how much he contributed these last couple of postseasons, what he meant in Super Bowl 49, 51, and even 52 in a loss. Guy's a stud. Brady's going to miss him. And he continually looked for him time and again on third and long, third and having to pick up like 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. They referred to him as Danny Playoff Amendola, a terrible nickname, but they referred to him that for a reason, because he always stepped up the most when it was nut-cutting time. The trash wide receiver, I think, was that they also referred to him as after Super Bowl 51. Guy does all the dirty little things. Brady's going to miss him. I know I'm going to miss him, because he was clutch. Your thoughts, though? Let's go to Kathy and Randolph, the Patriots losing Danny Amendola to the division rival Dolphins. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hey, how you doing? I'm with you, Jim, in that I'll never get over that Super Bowl loss and not playing Butler. That still infuriates me to this day.
It should.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you don't question that. I have a conspiracy theory, but I will say it's courtesy of my husband. When I told him that Amendola was gone,
mm-hmm.
he said, he's thinking, is this Belichick trying to undermine Brady? Is it like a power play in taking away some of Brady's guys and the teammates that he likes, because he seems to be not doing anything? And there's just been way too much drama behind the scenes the entire season, and it was unusual in the news for the Pats that had been seeping out all season. So I think there's a power play between Belichick and Brady, and just some of the comments Brady's been making and what Belichick's been doing, and I'm just thinking it might be a power play and Belichick's, you know, not signing or waiting and trying to show who's boss.
And Kathy, and thanks for the call. As of right now, it feels like they're not still on the same page. Maybe they've had the meeting, the come-to-Jesus meeting between the three most powerful and important players here in Brady and Kraft and Belichick. But as of right now, it certainly doesn't feel it. Not when you get Tom versus Time, the final episode yesterday, and you have Giselle Bundchen, Brady's wife, who I think is speaking for Tom, saying that he wants to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun. Does that sound like they're on the same page? Doesn't to me.
If they had that meeting, you think someone would have leaked something about it at this point,
yeah.
Right? Like, there would have been Wickershare, somebody would have had something about it. Like, yeah. I can't imagine that they've had any kind of sit-down.
Still feels real loose to me. We'll go to another lady here. We'll go to Elizabeth in Sherbourne. You're next here on Felger and Mez. Hello, Elizabeth.
A lot of ladies today.
Hi.
Hi.
Awful nice talk to you, handsome. I can say that because my husband's away.
Oh, meow. But,
I think there might be something to what Kathy just said, that ever since the trading of Garoppolo, there's been incredible dissension amongst the Holy Trilogy. I think, and call me crazy, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if this was Belichick's last year and that he's kind of had it up to his eyebrows with Brady. And I would so love to see him go out to San Fran and coach his boy Jimmy.
Oh, well, Elizabeth, I don't know if that, I mean, look, Kyle Shanahan is entrenched there, and as long as, you know, Garoppolo plays like how he showed he was playing before the end of the season, Kyle Shanahan ain't going to be going anywhere soon.
Yeah.
No, I think when Bill walks, that's going to be it, I have to think. I don't think he's going to pull up Parcells and then come back a couple of years later or want to be the president of football ops or anything like that. Who knows? There's those guys eventually get bored and get the itch. But when he walks from this team, I don't think you're going to see him on the sidelines with any other team for a few years at least.
I would doubt it, yeah. I think it's probably it'll be over here, and then it'll be over for good, I would imagine. I can't see him starting all over somewhere else at that age. It just that's a stretch, you know. By the way, is it a coincidence Danny Amendola leaves? We get this influx of women calling today.
No, he's a very.
I can't imagine.
I'm strong enough in my skin to say that is a very handsome man. And as Scott Zolak tweeted earlier today, it's a perfect fit, not just in terms of the money and Danny Amendola finally getting a big payday after taking three cuts here the last 3 years. You go to South Beach with your girl Olivia Culpo, who's also a model. And it's all models all over the place. He'll fit right in. It's a perfect fit for Amendola down in Miami. A lot going on in the league, seemingly everywhere else but here. So your thoughts on all this. Danny Amendola going to the Miami Dolphins. Jordy Nelson released by the Green Bay Packers. Maybe he'd be a good replacement and a fit here. Your thoughts on this. 617-779-0985. It's Felger and Mazz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz are out today, so you have Big Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair. You have Christian Arcand in the Mazz chair. We're actually playing shorthanded today. We're supposed to have Paul Perillo in from Patriots Football Weekly, but with the hellish nor'easter, Paul deemed it too dangerous to come in, and I don't blame him. But the takes do not stop, and that's why we're here for you, the people, especially ahead of the NFL season officially kicking off, at least the league year kicking off, now less than 24 hours from now, and it's been a busy day already. Danny Amendola, in case you haven't heard yet, sounds like he's no longer going to be a member of the Patriots, signing a two-year deal with the Miami Dolphins. Your thought on that, if you happen to watch the weird Tom Brady appearance on the Stephen Colbert show last night. We're going to reset on that in just about 10 minutes from now. But a lot of moves throughout the league. We touched on the Bruins. We've talked about the Celtics. All of this is on the table. Just not a lot of snow talk, please. But give us a ring. 617-779-0985. We'll go to Jim in Beverly. You're next here on Felger and Mazz. Hey, Jim.
Hey, what do you say, Murray?
What's going on?
Hey, before I get to my Belichick take, Jordy Nelson. Oh, man, I would love to see him here.
Yeah, cut after a bad year with Brett Hundley mostly throwing him the ball, 32 years old.
Exactly.
Like, if they're losing Amendola, there's still something left in the tank for Jordy Nelson. You hear the name, you automatically think he'd be a great fit here.
Oh yeah, I think so. And you don't think he'd like to play with Brady after playing with Rodgers? I think he'd love
right.
that. But on don't you think, with nothing going on drafts, don't you think with the decisions that Belichick has made recently between Garoppolo getting next to nothing and not playing Butler, you think they're doing things a little different now in the draft? Like, he was probably the lead calling all the shots. And, you know, Robert, I mean, if you listen to him, you know, he's spending a lot of time with the new baby out in California. I think his son's probably at the table, and you've got Josh, who's probably closer with him than he is with Belichick. And maybe they're pushing him a little. I tell you, and he needs it. Yeah, I don't think they could give this guy the reins anymore.
Well, Jim, I think if he was feeling the squeeze that much, he'd be gone, right? Like, with everything that's gone on, clearly, if the Seth Wickersham piece is to be believed, and I think most of it is, and it's been, you know, reported from other guys that a lot of you trust a hell of a lot more. I know ESPN lies, yeah. But, like, Tommy Carr and NBC Sports Boston, you know, he backed most of this up.
Yeah.
So, Belichick certainly didn't like how things are being handled here, with Tom Brady having a little bit too much power, becoming bigger than the team. It felt like his hand was forced with having to move Garoppolo. So he's feeling a little bit of a squeeze. If it was as much as the caller just said, Christian, he'd be gone. He would have walked, and I frankly wouldn't have blamed him.
I get that sense, too. I mean, if it was that bad, if it was all coming down on him like that, I mean, eventually he would have said, you know what, I don't need this. Like, I don't need any of this. I've proven myself. I've done what I have to do here. I've done it better than anybody else maybe in modern sports history. If you think about it, I mean, these 18 years in the NFL in this day and age, to do what the Patriots have done, what Belichick's done this long, there's nothing like this. I mean, this isn't like modern sports we're talking about. This is history book stuff. So, yeah, I could see him saying, I don't need this.
But still, a lot of uncertainty surrounding this team. There's been a lot of moves that have been questionable going back to last year's offseason with this Patriots. It's been as uncertain as I can ever remember it. And one guy that I know who's probably reveling in all of this is Carlton in Tampa. Hello, Carlton.
Hey, Carlton.
Hey, Catboy, close your eyes and transport yourself 10 months into the future when you'll have that toolbox, Josh McDaniels for a coach. You'll be looking back at an 8-8 season, and you'll realize that your last memory of Belichick and Brady together was when Belichick lost to a backup quarterback because he had a personal vendetta against your best quarterback. And then realize that you've become the Buffalo Bills with Gilmore at cornerback and maybe Gillislee still in the backfield. And the only remnants of the Tom Brady that you used to know will be watching him on The View hawking cookbooks.
But,
I mean, this is going to be your life going forward, Catboy.
Carlton,
get used to it.
Carlton, I do have to, what do you think is
still better than the Jets, by the way?
What's the tipping point? What pushes him out the door before the season?
No, you'll be the Jets, but it'll just be more pathetic because it'll be so sad. That's the problem. The whole team saw what he did to Malcolm Butler, and that's why Danny Amendola couldn't get out the door fast enough now to actually make some money. The team has completely lost confidence in your tool bag coach, which is why he was constructively fired by Kraft, and he won't be there a year from now. Book it.
Bucket. There was a lot to like in that call from Carlton. Normally I enjoy him so much more when Felger and Maz are here because I get to do a little bit more of my thing and really marinate in the phone call.
I do like how Stephen Gilmore makes him the Bills on
that. Yeah, they're the Bills. Fuck it. You can fuck it.
There was something else in there I really liked, too. He was extra salty in that call. And he gets to enjoy the warm weather, too. SOB. Look, I think there is... I still believe it's kind of a fluid situation with Bill Belichick. There is one thing that I think could even push him out the door between now and the start of the season. And that's how this Rob Gronkowski thing is handled. I believe this is something else. If he feels his power is usurped by the Krafts,
yeah,
and they decide to rip up Gronk's contract, they need him back so badly, they give him some ridiculous deal that's close to what some of the top wide receivers make, when Bill is probably looking at this situation like, you know, there's other tight ends out there. I know how good Gronk is, but enough of this. He's just, no one's bigger than the team. This is my ethos. I already got to deal with this with Brady. You're going to do this to me again? F this. I'm out. So I still think that's in play. Overall, I don't think he's going to be gone, but I still think there is a small chance that that could happen if they, you know, give Gronk a new deal and he's back and his power is kind of taken away from him a little bit in that aspect. But overall, like, I don't think he's going to be gone before 2019.
I hope not. And I know that Bill Belichick is like an innovator and he's done all these things to sort of make the game better and he's done things differently from everybody else. But I don't think that in that spirit, he's going to be the first guy to give a tight end wide receiver money. I just can't imagine that he's going to be the guy to do that.
And there's still a lot of pieces to fall here. Look, as Carlton, as he's wont to do, is always painting a very dark picture that he wants to see happen with the Patriots.
8-8, that's the very dark picture.
You know, it feels like they've done nothing. They've lost Danny Amendola. I want them to bring back Nate Solder. It sounds like it feels like, as of right now, while every other team seemingly is doing something, the Patriots doing nothing, I can understand you freaking out a little bit and feeling like, wow, it's ending. But other pieces have to fall here. Other guys are going to get cut. Jordy Nelson is cut from the Packers today. If you bring him in on a short money deal, or relative, you know, incentive-laden deal, you lose Amendola, you bring in Jordy Nelson, that's kind of a wash to me. As good as Amendola's been here, as clutch as he's been in the playoffs, it's an easier pill for me to swallow if you bring in Jordy Nelson. Colin, your thoughts on this. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. What's going on? How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so, yeah, you guys touched on it. What do you think about bringing in Jordy Nelson now that Danny Amendola's gone? Amendola produced a lot in the past seasons there, but I think Jordy Nelson can come in, fill that void. Pretty lucky going from Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady. Also, real quick, heard some rumors about Ndamukong Suh being potentially available out there. No one fears our front seven. Be a good addition to add. Let me know what you think. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Look, if we're talking like, if you see the money being thrown around for wide receivers over the last day or so is insane.
Yeah.
So what can you get Nelson to come in at? Is it a 2-year deal, incentive laden? Is it around 11, 12 million bucks?
Oh, you've got to give him that New England pitch. You've got to give him the Patriots pitch. Wait, do you want to play for a winner? Okay,
yeah.
Well, we'll give you incentives and this and that, whatever, but we're not going to give you some big money deal. Now, if you're Jordy Nelson, it depends, really. Does he want to go to a winner or does he want to get paid? He's 33 years. He'll be 33 next year. And, you know, I sort of look at the market for these wide receivers. I don't think the Patriots are going to be anywhere close to that. And he's also coming off a year where he had 6 touchdowns last year, but all of them came in the first 5 games when Aaron Rodgers was playing. He didn't have any touchdowns after that because Jackass was out there throwing the ball afterwards. And he's still, I think, pretty good and pretty talented and able to go out there and contribute. So I would imagine that he'll probably price himself out of the Patriots unless they give him the pitch and he buys into it. I mean, that's the only way.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.